Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel, and we come to chapter 3. 1 Samuel and reading from chapter 3. Now the boy, Samuel, was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at that time as Eli was laying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and laid down. The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also. If you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This morning we come to a powerful portion of God's word under the title, I give it, Young Preacher Samuel's First Sermon. Now, for those of you who have yet to preach your first sermon, let me give you a bit of a sense of what that is like. It is an absolutely dreadful, terrifying, horrifying experience in every way. A preacher, usually a young individual who stands behind a pulpit and looks this way rather than this way at the pulpit, has a very different impression of how that the service is going and how that the sermon is proceeding. He sees people who are slumbering down in their pew and trying to get a good neck rest somewhere, sees others that might need some help with bodily functions or with medical conditions, and the expression on the face seems to indicate some level of pain or confusion. Well, these are the things, and a preacher just needs to ignore all of that stuff as best as he can and send forth truth. But it's not easy. I remember one young fellow who had just preached his first sermon to me coming and saying, "Wow, that must have really, really been bad." Well, it probably wasn't as bad as his impression was, but it is a terrifying experience. And terrifying even when you can choose some light and bright and cheery message to give to the congregation. When it's something totally uplifting and you speak of the love of God, which is as vast as the sea and as deep as any ocean could ever be. But how much more dreadful when the first sermon is what Samuel had to preach to his mentor and master, Eli, under these circumstances, likely much younger than most preachers are when they utter their first homily or message of any kind. There's a play that takes place within these chapters on the very name Samuel. Samuel means God hears. That first part of his name, Shema, comes also to us out of the great Shema, which Jews even to this day use in every synagogue service. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." They call it the great Shema. It's the great hearing. "Hear, O Israel." Well, that is the first part of Samuel's name, "Hear." And the last part, the shortened version of Elohim, El, it's tacked there as well. So you put it together, and every time his mother called out, "Samuel, where are you?" she was declaring truth, "God hears." Whenever Eli would call out the name, whenever anyone would refer to him, there would be this part of truth declared, "God is a hearing God. He is not like the idols round about us, deaf and dumb, blind. Our God hears. Our God sees." Well, this is what is taking place. And even as last week we went into 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Hannah, she comes to the tent of meeting. And she pours out her heart, so heavily burdened, so concerned, so anxious. She pours out her heart before the Lord who hears her. And Eli, he says, "Go on your way," after first of all misunderstanding her. And he says, "Go on your way, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." He's saying, "May the Lord indeed hear you." And later on we find that indeed, God had heard and granted the request. And so it continues, "God hears." Now, as we come to the beginning of chapter 3, we also have a contrast that is taking place in between the household of Eli and his sons, and what had come about under their leadership, and what would take place under the leadership of Samuel in successive days. You see, at the beginning of the chapter, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. This was even before he understood who the Lord fully was and the word of the Lord. Verse 7, it had not been yet revealed to him, but he was ministering there. He was faithfully serving. And we have this comment made: word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Here we're dealing with the whole subject of revelation. God revealing himself. God had revealed himself time and time again in creation and to the Israelites through their journeys, through their wilderness wanderings, in the story of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so many others. But here it seems like the heavens are shut up, and there is as though the heavens are as brass over the people. Word from the Lord was rare. You see, when there are no ears to hear, then God pauses. But where there is an attentive listening, God is eager to speak. Word from the Lord, rare in those days. But at the end of the chapter, we find that Samuel, one who was open to hear and to proclaim this very word, even though it would come with a heavy price upon his own life and surely threats at certain times because people just didn't like it, Samuel was prepared, even at this young age, to hear, to attend, and to proclaim this word in the midst of those who weren't very excited about it. But we find that the word of the Lord was confirmed, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and it was a new day. But here in chapter 3, let us recount once again what is taking place here as the Lord comes. This points out to us very clearly that the Lord desires to reveal himself, even to those who are hard of heart. He wants to have this communication. He wants to have the door broken open and to have the wall broken down. We have this incredible instance. Late one night, Eli, he's lying down in his place. Due to age, there are certain faculties which had not been working too well. He could not see very well. The lamp of God was still burning there, and Samuel, he was lying in his place. And God comes three times. You might say, well, if those people are so dull as not to hear the voice of God, maybe God should just pass them by. Do we get only one chance or two chances or three opportunities? Here God comes and he speaks. He calls Samuel, and Samuel himself, verse 4, he thinks that it is Eli who is beckoning him, and he gets up and he runs to Eli and he says, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli says, "Nothing doing. I didn't call you. Go and lie down." Interesting that Samuel had been so instructed so as to be obedient to his master, his mentor, that these three times he goes and he does what is bid of him. Samuel, again, the call comes. Samuel gets up and he thinks, okay, if this guy wants to play these games, then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'll sort of lift my end of the board. Samuel, and he goes to Eli again. "You called me. Nothing doing. Go lie down again." And the comment, verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. You see, there's one thing. Now picture this, that Samuel was in a place of incredible privilege. Incredible privilege. He was there right in the tent of meeting, right adjacent to the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, a reminder of the presence of God on this earth. But he did not know the Lord. It's one thing to know about the trappings of the Lord. It's one thing to know, okay, well, that tent peg goes over here. If it ever comes loose, put it back in its place. And this rope, it's getting a little bit frayed. It's one thing to know about the details of church or of the Bible, but it's another thing to know the God who dwells through all eternity and who wants to speak his word, who wants to speak his truth into living vessels today. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, though he knew so much about what was going on round about him. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I'm sure he had memorized certain passages that had been recited time and time again. I'm sure he knew the ritual of people bringing an offering and of what took place day by day, but it was not something that had embedded itself deep within his heart that his eyes were open to understand in a brand new way. Verse 8, the Lord called to Samuel again the third time. Samuel. Here he gets up, and he goes once again to Eli, and Eli, all of a sudden, things start to click in his head. This boy is serious. He is hearing a voice calling to him, and I know this boy, that he is intent on listening. And here he is, coming to me this third time. Well, Eli speaks to Samuel, go and lie down. Go position yourself in that very place where you heard that call before. Jonah, he wanted to run from the call of God. He wanted to flee as far away as he possibly could. But Eli says to Samuel, Samuel, I want you to go and I want you to position yourself in that very place where you heard the call come to you before. And this is how I want you to respond. I don't want you to come and to run over to where I am. I want you to stay right there and I want you to say these words, speak. Speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. Your servant, God hears, the one who is named God hears, that servant is now wanting to hear what God has to say. Verse 10, I think, is one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture, where it says, the Lord came and stood, and called out as at other times. There's three verbs there. The Lord came. How the Lord enters into a life and enters into a situation. How that there is a change even in his presence, in the comforting assurance that God is with us. He is Emmanuel. The Lord came. Now we could say, oh, what rubbish is that, that he is ever present. He is omnipresent. But in a very real sense, the flooding in of his presence was so powerful. The Lord came. And the Lord did not simply sweep by, as in the story of Elijah there at the cave, as the wind passed by and that gentle breeze came passing by. But the Lord himself came and took his stand right there. There was some business to transact. The Lord came and stood. And as at other times, as at three other times when it was ignored, when it was misunderstood, the Lord called and said, Samuel, Samuel, God hears, God hears, God himself making that declaration. And Samuel did what Eli had instructed him and said, "Speak, speak, for your servant is listening. I'm ready to hear what you have to say. I know who I am. I am your servant. I know that you are the Lord of all creation, and I am ready to have you pour into me. I want to hear you speak, and I want to be hearing." The text that the Lord gives to Samuel is an amazing one. It is one of utter judgment. Verse 11, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Once again, a play on Samuel's own name and that beginning word of his name, hear. Ears will tingle. People will be amazed at what they hear. God going to carry out against Eli what he had spoken. Now here, Eli was about to hear in seclusion Samuel's first sermon, a word directly from the Lord. Here is a word of judgment. It is a word of heaviness. It is a word that is unmistakable. It reminds us that there is a day of God's grace, that the door stands open, but that will not always be the case. Lest we become complacent, lest we become callous or careless in any way, we need to understand here that God had beckoned to this man, and that here he was now in his elderly years, and he was seeing his sons going off the rails, but yet there was nothing done about it. There was a time, there was an opportunity, but for Eli, that day of grace was closing. We need to understand that. We need to hear that. The Spirit of the living God beckons, woos, pleads. There is an urgent and a passionate call to each and every one of us. But there can come upon our hearts such a callousness that we no longer hear what God is saying to us. Verse 16, Eli calls Samuel. It said in verse 15, Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. No wonder, when it was of such a sort. Eli calls Samuel and he says, "I want to hear what he said to you. What is the word that he spoke to you?" That should be the question for every preacher and for every congregation. What is it that the Bible actually says? What is it that not you think, preacher? What is it that the Bible has to say to us? Whether it be pleasant, whether it be lovely, whether it be heartwarming, whether it be encouraging and uplifting, or whether it be the most stern, in-your-face type of rebuke and challenge. What is it that he has declared? What is it that he has spoken? Preachers of the world, may God do so to you and more also. If you hide anything from your congregation of all the words that God has spoken, a paraphrase of verse 17. Well, Samuel, he told him everything and hid nothing. And I'm sure that Eli gulped even as he gave response. Verse 19 says that Samuel grew. Now that was not just physically. I'm sure there was that. But most especially spiritually and in leadership, Because it says, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. This is a spiritual comment. And let none of his words fail. We would have heard nothing more about Samuel if on that day, there in the dusky hours, Samuel had headed off outside the tent and said, "The Lord? I don't know the Lord. Sounds scary, sounds frightening, sounds like a job for someone else. I'll leave it to someone else." But Samuel, he listened, he obeyed, and what took place? Samuel grew because he attended to the word of God and did what he was instructed to do. There's rich truth in that for each and every one of us, we come and we grow only as we lay hold of what we have been given. Samuel would come to know the Lord better and better and grow stronger in the ways and in the word of the Lord simply because he faithfully and obediently did hear what he was bidden to do. How does that apply in your life? How does that apply in mine? But it was not just Samuel that sensed something going on inside. It says that all of Israel knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet, as a preacher of the Lord, sending forth the word of the Lord. And the Lord stirred, the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to God hears at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we come and we learn many incredible truths here, that there is an opportunity for us to be right with you, but that is not an opportunity that will be there forever. There is opportunity, there is privilege, but the door can close as well. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, as your grace is extended, as your favor is extended to us, would at any moment, whatever our situation is, that we would be ever so quick to make things right with you, to come before you and to say, "Lord God, I would plead your grace. I would come before you and set aside those things that are not pleasing in your sight. I would fly to the cross and I would plead the blood of Jesus Christ for covering over me." Lord, may this clearly impact each and every one of us. And Lord, may we understand further that we go to grade 2 because we've completed grade 1, and we go into high school because we've done elementary and we've done junior high school. You will only lead us forth in growth because we've learned our previous, more elementary, rudimentary lessons well. Such it was for Samuel, even though some of those earliest lessons were heavy and hard. We grow as we are obedient to your word. So, Lord, may we ever be a growing people. Not so much numerically, though, Lord, grant that too. But may it be true of us to the very core and for every one of us that we are indeed growing in grace, that we are laying hold of your truth, that we are taking it immediately and urgently to heart, that we might grow in you and be strong. And may it not just be us, but may others understand what is taking place, and may they then take it for themselves to grow and to be strong in your word. So hear us, so help us in every way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.